From the Tigers sideline, it's Tigers Talk with Memphis broadcasting legend Greg Gaston. Hear Greg weekday mornings on Sports 56 Mornings along with Eli Savoy from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. On Twitter X at Greg_Gaston. Here's Greg with Bryant and Brett.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And joining us now to talk some Tigers, Greg Gaston joins us on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. As always, you can listen to Greg every single morning with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli. Greg, plenty to get into today. Basketball, football, AD, a lot going on with the University of Memphis. But I want to start off with the basketball team, and specifically Jaden Quaintance has been the big story this week, the five-star 16-year-old prospect that reclassified and was planning on taking a visit to Memphis. We learned earlier today that that visit would be postponed. Now we're learning that he's going to visit Arizona State this weekend, and then the plan is for him to be on campus here at Memphis next week to visit the Tigers. But what do you make of this story? Jaden Quaintance signed with Kentucky, but now, obviously, with John Calipari going to Arkansas, he gets out of his NLI. He decides he does not want to follow Cal to Arkansas. And now it seems like the Tigers have a good shot to land him, but you also have Louisville, and it sounds like Louisville ready to make him a big offer, and even a crystal ball earlier today saying that he's going to go to Louisville. What do you make of this whole story with the five-star?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, guys. Great to be with you again. And as you said, Brian, there's a lot going on comes to the University of Memphis. Well, what I get out of this thing is, obviously, this is a talented player. 16 years old, five-star, a lot of great basketball in his future. The question is whether or not we're going to have a situation wherever he goes where Pops is going to be involved in this kid's young career, because everything I've heard is while he's talented, it's a very similar to situation to what we've had with other players, sort of the Imani Bates of the world in Memphis, when you had a father that was also very much involved in his son's career. And I don't know if it's as serious as what I've read, and if that is, it's tough to go down that avenue again after that didn't work out with Bates. But it's hard to say no to a kid if he wants to come here. With the talent that he possesses. The other issue is with name, image, and likeness. And again, there's a lot of stuff out there. What's true? What's false? Who knows? You dissect it yourself. But that the NIL money is going to be pretty costly to bring in his services. And I'm not sure why he didn't want to go to Arkansas, or John Calipari didn't want him to come to Arkansas. It makes perfect sense that once Cal went to Arkansas and that Quaintance jumped into the portal, that he was going to probably follow Cal to Fayetteville, but not the case. So you wonder what happened there. As you mentioned, Louisville is certainly going after him. Louisville, after the last couple of years, the Kenny Payne era did not work out. They're trying to make a splash any way they can. And as far as them moving his visit to next week, I don't think that's a big deal. They got a young man, Bamba, coming in from Villanova this weekend. So I don't know if it was kind of a scheduling thing or whatever the deal was. But, I mean, these things could always fall apart at the last second as far as bringing him in. But more than likely, it's just a situation of changing his schedule around. And we'll see what happens. I mean, Penny will get a good feel for what he's all about. Is it all about NIL money? Is this kid ready to come in and commit and go full force 100% as a team player? Because We saw it last year firsthand, and he, as a coach, experienced it firsthand last year, that if you have a bunch of guys that are in it for just themselves and not for the team, then you can have an implosion. So he's got to be very careful when dealing with a player of this magnitude.
And, Greg, we know we can say, we can call it NIL, we can call it whatever we'd like to call it. It's team payroll. What do you think, to be relevant, the team payroll for the Tigers basketball operation needs to be?
Yeah, that's the hard question to answer. We know that the big gift came last week from FedEx and Fred Smith, but that's $5 million that'll go to men's basketball, to football, to all women's sports, and I don't know how it's divvied up. What happens if if Coach Hardaway went to the powers that be and said, listen, I need $1.5 million for this kid. I mean, that's a big hunk of it. And now there's other money coming in, and there's two collectives at the University of Memphis, one for strictly men's basketball and one for all the other sports, but including football. So I don't know, but some of the numbers I hear from other programs about the payroll is just astronomical. So I wouldn't even have a guess, but at least, and I'm probably jumping the gun for this question that you were probably going to ask me, Brian, about the gift from Fred Smith. It doesn't hurt to be able to have that lump sum of money coming in over the course of the next 5 years.
Sure.
To become a player in the arms race, if you will. But Brett, that's too tough a question to answer. I wouldn't even have a guess at it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would either. I know all the budgets are going up. All the team payrolls are going up.
Yeah.
And around the SEC, I think to be really, really competitive in football, and of course so many more players, I think you need to start at a baseline to probably finish in that top half of the SEC of about $10
million. Whoa.
And in basketball, about $3 to $5 million, and in baseball in the SEC at about $1 to $2 million.
I think your numbers are not skewed. I think you're on point. I've heard those type of numbers before, but when I hear them and you think of the top teams and the ones that bring in the most money in the SEC and the Big Ten, they can afford it. It's hard to believe, but yes, they can afford it. But when you're talking about most other schools, that's an astronomical amount of money.
The one in college football that you can't even go against is USC. If it comes down to your offer and their offer, they're going to win every time.
Every time. And we know what Ole Miss is doing, right? They're certainly making a dent in this thing, but they pale in comparison to some of the other schools. We know Texas A&M has the money. We know USC has the money. Texas has the money. Ohio State has the money. But when it comes to Memphis, now Memphis at least can be able to battle the best. And they are certainly got to be near the top in the American, or not the American Conference, but the Group of Five.
Yeah.
And then also be able to battle now some schools that are in the power conferences because of that gift. But it can't stand at just that amount of money. That's why they're going to go out there. They don't have this is not a matching. Some people are confused about this, that they think it's a matching situation like it is for the $50 million for Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Memphis has to go out there and match that $50 million. But they don't have to do that. It's just basically a suggestion to them that $5 million doesn't go as far as it used to, and
right.
You'll need to go out there and produce your own money as well, and that's exactly what they're going to try to do.
Well, you mentioned the Villanova transfer, T.J. Bamba. He'll be on visit this weekend here in Memphis, I believe starting this evening, going into tomorrow. But also, Tigers picked up a couple commitments since the last time we talked to you. Tyrese Hunter, who started his career at Iowa State and spent the last 2 years at Texas, and then the young guard, Barack Okojie, from George Mason. What did you make of those two pickups?
Okojie, I think, is promising. I think he's a project.
Mm-hmm.
He's fast. He gets to the hole. He's not a good shooter from the outside, at least not right now. As you said, played for George Mason. I think more of a role player.
Yeah.
As far as Hunter's concerned, this was a big-time recruit coming out
yes.
of high school. He started, I believe, at Iowa State, if I'm not mistaken,
mm-hmm.
and then goes to Texas. I think he's been a little bit underwhelming, to be honest with you, but I think he could be a breakout star. So I think that's a great pickup for Penny Hardaway to go along with what you've already put into the fold. P.J. Haggerty being a very good all-around player, especially on the defensive end, and then Kobe Rogers being this knockdown, high-volume three-point shooter, along with the big guy in the middle, Dane Danger. But if you are able to get Bamba, that's a great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I think he started at, correct me if I'm wrong, Washington State,
mm-hmm.
and then went to Villanova, if that's correct,
yeah.
somewhere out west. But he is a guy who has an awful lot of talent. He's 6'5", he's got a good wingspan, but he's still a perimeter player. So that would be another guard slash maybe small forward. It seems to me, and again, it's early in the process right now, and then, of course, David Jones, who we don't know, but that could be a very small lineup for Memphis. There's going to be options, I'm sure, But right now, when you look at what the roster is made of, it's mostly guards. So if you're able to nail down Bamba, another, you know, 6'5", a little bit bigger guard, but not a power forward or a center by any stretch of the imagination. So you need to go out there, if you're Penny Hardaway, and be able to get those guys. That's why Quaintance is a big guy, but a young guy who hasn't had any college experience. So I don't know if you want to go to battle necessarily, depending a lot on him. So I think it's paramount to go out there and get a couple of veteran bigs to go along with Danger and to go along with Nick Jerdain. But again, I like what Penny's doing. It's just very early in the game to sit here and kind of analyze what's going on when I'm learning about some of these guys. Most people are learning about some of these guys, and they just think you know the answers already. I think would be very stupid on your part to put it strongly, to guess that this team is going to be at a certain spot when we don't know. The pieces are still being filled into this puzzle, and there's a lot of blank areas still.
Our guest, the very familiar voice, Greg Gasson, with us from the Tiger sideline. You hear him every morning on these airwaves from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Eli Savoy. He's with us every week. He's on our Sissy's Law Cabin guest line right now, and he's with us every week, brought to you by Jim's Place Collierville, Mount Moriah Auto Sales, the law offices of Stephen Leffler, and Neil's Bar and Grill. Laird Veach is now the new AD at Mizzou. I don't think that caught many people by surprise. They've been interested in him. He's been interested in them, and it finally happened for him. We wish him well. The next AD, whenever their tenure ends, Greg, I say the next AD has to be the AD that lands the Tigers in a much better conference than they're currently in.
There'll be a lot of pressure on that new AD. I thought Laird did a very good job to get Memphis into a position to get to one of the power conferences. It didn't happen. There are a lot of reasons, and reasons beyond their control, but I think Memphis has set themselves up very nicely, thanks again in part to what Fred Smith and FedEx has done. But yeah, I think that new AD, that will be more than likely, when it's all said and done and they look back at whoever's career that may be, did they do that? And if they did get them into that power conference, boy, will they be looked back at as one of the great ADs to ever walk through
the best ever.
Right. Ever walk into that office over there on Normal Street. So we'll see which direction they go in. But as far as Laird Veach is concerned, all I can say is hats off to him. Congratulations. This isn't one of those deals where people should be looking and saying, oh, you left us. You left us in a lurch. Why'd you go, Laird? You do all these things with FedEx and then you leave. No, this was the perfect situation for him. He did try a couple years ago to get the Missouri job when it opened. This is a place he's worked at before. He's worn different hats there. He's getting more than a double salary raise. He's going up, if you believe the reports, right? And I think they had the Freedom of Information Act to prove that it's going to be about $1.3 million in his new job at Missouri. And the guess was, what, about $600,000 at Memphis. So, first of all, you're making a lot more money.
Yeah.
Which is great for your future, for your family. You're going to a place you're familiar with. You're going into a power conference. It makes sense. So anybody who is holding any animosity towards him, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think there's many, if there's any. But you are, Brett, you are right on about this new AD. This is a pivotal hire because the trajectory is going in the right direction for Memphis Athletics. And whoever comes into this job has to take the baton, they have to run, and hopefully they get them to the highest heights they've ever been. But if they take any step backwards, even if it's a little mini step, a little baby hop, bunny hop, that's going to be big-time trouble for Memphis. This person has to be, they have to understand the situation that they are walking into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen a lot of people put out suggestions or kind of their list of AD candidates that Memphis should go after. Do you have any or a type of fit that you would like to see Memphis go out and get?
Well, I think, and I've heard people go back and forth, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. I personally believe that the person that is hired has to have knowledge of football.
Yeah.
And they have to have football. They have to have dealt with football. I think that's paramount. Now, can you bring in other people to help you? Sure, you can do that, right? You can do that. We see that with coaches, you know, bring in guys that you lean on. That's certainly a possibility. I also think having experience at a program or two in the Power Conference helps as well, because you know what you're striving to get to. I just think a smaller school or even of equal size, you have that same mentality that you come in with. I think you have to be able to think big, and when you have had that experience of having worked in bigger places, then you know what it's all about. I certainly think there are a lot of viable candidates out there. I think Jeff Crane, who right now is the interim AD, a weekly guest of mine on my show, I like him a lot. I respect him a lot. I mean, I think he fits the bill as well. But there are numerous candidates, some who have connections to the University of Memphis. I don't think it is necessary that they have the connection to the University of Memphis, meaning having worked here. Right. I don't think you have to go down that avenue. But if that's the avenue that Dr. Hargrave wants to go down, that's fine. Again, my feeling, and this is just my opinion, is have that football background and to have that big conference, big school mentality, because that's where Memphis ultimately wants to be.
I'm with you on a personal, real kinship and like of Jeff Crane. I think that would be pretty seamless, very similar to Ryan Silverfield being the coach after Mike Norvell. But if they decide to cast a wide net, I'm okay by that. Alan Green's name has been mentioned a lot. I know Alan really well. Two tours of duty at Ole Miss. The first one, he parlayed that into being athletics director at Auburn, and that's where his relationship with the current University of Memphis president, that's where it started, and they have a very good one. He was out at Auburn and then was back at Ole Miss and did a really good job, a key lieutenant and trusted hand, right-hand man for athletics director Keith Carter, and that got him into at Tennessee with Danny White, and he was friends with Danny from when Danny White was at the in the Ole Miss shop as a assistant athletic director under Pete Boone. They have a really, really good, I think a good broad framework on who they can get.
And let me add, Alan Green, to me, is a perfect candidate.
He really
now,
is.
He has, like you said, he has been around the block a few times. He has worked under prominent people. He has been involved in the big programs, as I have just talked about. He knows all about football. So I certainly think that that's a candidate with the connection to Dr. Hargrave that they will take a good look at.
Yeah. Absolutely. You were doing a lot of in-game interviews last Saturday during the Tiger spring game. What were your biggest takeaways from both the game and your interviews throughout the game?
Greg, I wish they would let us interview everybody like that during a real game.
Wouldn't it be cool? My biggest takeaway is simple. I have never seen more confidence from a Memphis Tigers football team in the nearly 30 years that I have been here covering the team. Now, they've had a lot of thin years. They've had a lot of very good years. But I have never seen the confidence. I hear it. I see it in their faces, in their body language. They expect to win the conference. There is no question. And I think to a man right now, if you ask them in private and said, how much of a disappointment would it be if you didn't win at all? They would be disappointed. They feel they have the players, the experience, the coaching staff, the backing from the university. Obviously, a couple of things happened in the conference that went their way. You guys know what I'm talking about. A loss of a coach here, a loss of a key player there. It doesn't mean they're going to just walk out there and do it. But I think they have everything in place to do it. And 10 wins last year was fantastic. Getting the win in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game was fantastic. But you have to get into that championship game. And if you win that championship game, we know what the payoff could be in the end. So that was my biggest takeaway, the confidence. And I hope that fires up Tiger fans for this upcoming football season, that they look at buying season tickets, that they're there for their support. Because those players, they feel it. They work off the energy and the emotions of the fan base. So hopefully they'll be there, because I think it has a chance to be a very special season.
Greg, I'm not going to go full upset alert at Doak Campbell Stadium on Saturday, September 14th, but I've told you for a while, I have that Ben Crenshaw good feeling around 99 Ryder Cup comeback. Another one of those moves in the coaching world that doesn't hurt anything, week two against Troy, them losing John Sumrall to Tulane. They're going to have to eventually face him Thanksgiving night when you go to New Orleans, and he's a great coach. Mm-hmm. But Troy in game two against a real high-quality opponent like Memphis, breaking in a new coach, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah, don't. First of all, Sumrall is going to have Tulane rolling.
He will.
And you just hope it's not the first year that there's a little grace period. But Troy, I've been warned by several people within the school, don't overlook Troy. So for fans that are looking at that schedule and going, okay, they play Troy, what's that, 62-7? No.
They'll be that, but they'll beat them.
They should beat them, but it is going to be a lot more competitive than you think. Troy has been a good program under Sumrall. So, but the Florida State game at Doak Walker, I will not forget if they pull that upset, Brett.
Doak Campbell, you just went Heisman Trophy winner with Doak Walker.
Did I do that again? I've done that twice now. It's been a long day and an early morning for me.
It's okay,
so,
Greg.
Please excuse me. But I will remember where I first heard it. And maybe the only place that I will hear it is from Brett Norsworthy. So you'll be the first name I utter after if that happens on the Monday when my show is on. So we'll see.
I don't know what the Las Vegas point spread will be, but if it's anything double digits, I really like the Tigers plus that. If it's lower than that, then there's people having the same thought I'm having.
Do you know who the quarterback is for Florida State?
To be determined.
Do they still have the young man from
They do.
Memphis?
From Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Brock Lent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name?
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know if he'll win that starting job, but I think Memphis will probably go in. It's their third game. Is it the third game for Florida State?
Yes, and they even open week zero, don't they?
Oh, I think they do. I think a lot will depend on how good Florida State looks early on, and it'll probably look good. I would bet Memphis probably goes in there as a double-digit underdog.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking 10 or 11 or 12, not anything in the teens.
Somewhere in that. Exactly. This isn't the typical bye game where you go in there and you're a 42-point underdog and you pick up your check. Memphis is expecting to go in there, battle, and maybe pull off the upset.
Very similar to one famous Labor Day when the Tigers went out to Los Angeles with a team not near as good as this one. It was a good team, but not as good as this one.
You're right.
That look you saw last week, Greg, you can tell being around a confident team. Johnny Hill's around the program a lot. They know they're sitting on a powder keg for next year.
So here's a couple of things that we got to keep an eye on. One, the portal, will Ryan Silverfield be able to add? He's looking to add a few, not a lot, but will he be able to add another offensive lineman? Will he be able to add another defensive back? They had a couple of offensive linemen that are penciled in more than likely as starters that were not able to play in the spring. So hopefully those guys pan out, and that will lead to not only starters, but also depth for the offensive line, which is pivotal. Mario Anderson is the real deal.
Sure is.
He's got some of the biggest, I think you got to go back to Earl Campbell to see thighs like that. I mean, they're huge. I think he's going to have a big year. And then, of course, it goes without saying, you have a fourth-year starting quarterback who has been there from day one and has started the first game he ever put a Tigers uniform on. When you have a Seth Hennigan, there are not too many quarterbacks in the country that you can say the same thing about. Now, are there as talented quarterbacks? Yes, there certainly are talented quarterbacks around the country. But there is nobody I can think of. There may be. Somebody may have an answer to this. Of a quarterback who's been at the program for just 4 years and has started every single game of those 4 years.
That's the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It sure is. Well, it's going to be a fun build-up to the season, a fun summer, as a lot of anticipation for this season for Ryan Silverfield's team. But, Greg, thanks so much, as always, for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
I hope we have this much news next week.
Oh,
thanks,
man.
Guys.
Thank you, Greg. We do appreciate it. And the build-up, you're right, Bryant. The build-up is going to be so much fun. We both we both want college football to start tomorrow. Yeah. It's not going to. We're not even close to the countdown time yet. We're not. The Florida State schedule, here it is. They do start week zero in the game at Dublin, Ireland, playing Georgia Tech in an ACC game. The next weekend, they don't play until Labor Day night at home at Doak Campbell against Boston College. And then Saturday, September 7th, when the Tigers are playing Troy, they have an open date the week before Memphis.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun to see what they come out looking like, and obviously they'll have the week off before to get well rested and ready, but should be a fun one.
At FSU schedule, I mean, they got a little Metro, they got a little ACC, they've got a little AAC, Southwest Conference, Pac-12, the week after they play Memphis, they play Cal. Yeah. California Golden Bears, then they go to SMU, and then a traditional ACC game against Clemson. Boy, they get a little bit of everything in there.
A little bit of
SEC with Georgia Tech from way back.
Good Lord.
I mean, how many different leagues? Boston College was once in the Big East.
Yeah.
Man, there's a lot of former leagues for all those teams.
You can go through it. You can get through it with their schedule this year.
Hey everybody, let's all drive something fun this summer and the rest of this year, and we can do it starting at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch down in Mississippi. First exit on Highway 78. After you cross into Mississippi, Craft Goodman Road, you're there. You want to get charged up? Come out to All-Star in Olive Branch and test drive one of the new EV Blazers. Just charge it and you have it. It's still Chevy truck season. And if you're ready for a new Silverado, all the Silverados with financing down to 2.9 for 72 months and thousands in cash and trade. New Equinox and Trailblazers with 1.9 financing. No payments for 90 days. Your good credit deserves it, and you get it at All-Star. Want something pre-owned? Everything you want's right there on their lot. Ram trucks, Tahoes, Suburbans, Jeeps, Traverse with third-row seating. If it's not on the lot, and they probably have it, but if they don't, ask Kevin or Jeff or Drew or any member of the sales staff, and they'll find it for you. Teachers, college students, healthcare workers, first responders, military, instant extra $500 bonus back. Where are you going for graduation, for Mother's Day, that first big summer road trip, a big golf trip, a big baseball trip? Better yet, what are you driving? Drive something from All-Star. Remember, it's not South Haven, Collierville, not Mount Moriah, not Bartlett. It's got to be Olive Branch. Come on down to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch or go to allstarautogroup.com.
Well, we need to get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, we're really starting to get closer and closer to the NFL draft, and it's really filling up. They got the College Game Day crew.
When did it get real for you?
Probably when College Game Day started.
When you saw Nick Saban at that desk.
How about that? Nick Saban
right in the middle of it, too.
Unbelievable. I've thought about it and then got sidetracked and haven't thought about it. I was going to text my brother and ask him how Nick Saban's been because I know he's watching it. But and it's filling in behind him. It looks like it's going to be a really good environment tonight for the NFL draft. But some non-draft NFL news that came out yesterday, I believe, and I saw it once we were done with the show. But the Cowboys met with Ezekiel Elliott's representatives around the facility a day before the NFL draft. So we kind of heard a little bit of rumors earlier in the offseason. But yeah, it's starting to look like there might be some smoke around Zeke being back with the Cowboys.
What's he got left?
I don't know if he's got much left. That's what I'm kind of worried about.
Situational?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm curious what that means now for the draft. If they think they can get Zeke back, because I've been saying I think you go offensive line first round, and then second and third round you look for a running back. Because now with Tony Pollard not in the fold, it's really thin back there, and I don't think you trust any of those guys. And I would not put it past Jerry Jones going out there and saying, well, we've got something working with Zeke Elliott. We're going to bring him back in. We don't need to draft a running back. We're good on running backs. And I think that would be a terrible idea.
That blimp shot overhead of the draft in downtown Detroit looks great. Good for Detroit. Yep. Good for the NFL. Going to be a lot of fun tonight to watch that. Now, Brian, I said before the break, we're not in college football countdown mode at close.
No.
But if we happen to be.
Okay.
This weekend is 17 weekends until week zero.
All right. How about that?
17 weekends ago to show you how time flies.
Sure does.
This weekend, 17 Saturdays till week zero.
Wow.
17 Saturdays ago.
Oh, no.
I was at Ole Miss Penn State at the Peach Bowl.
Wow.
That was 2 seconds ago.
Wow.
I can feel myself walking back to the hotel now, and it was one of the happier walks of my life.
Of course.
I can't let go of the Peach Bowl, and it's time to let go of it.
So we're kind of right there in the middle. 17 weeks ago, you were at the
bowl game
for Ole Miss. 17 weeks from now.
Now, we're not quite to the equinox of college football, but we're getting close.
We're getting really close.
So we got closer in front of us than the last season was. But it will go by fast. Week zero this year mentioned Georgia Tech and FSU in Dublin.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I like the doubling game last year. You know, it was fun, different, and you know, it's always different kind of when you have that game that's overseas. So it'll be fun, and seeing Florida State over there will be really fun to see. I know for a lot of local people with Mike Norvell.
And football 2025, that week zero date will be Saturday, August 23rd. That could be everybody starting that weekend to get in playoffs, especially.
Yeah.
Well, it won't be next year. It won't be in 25. But if after that, when it expands to 14 or 16, you could have to have the season really opening early. And, boy, that will be some furnace hot games.
You got that right. So, but, yeah, you're definitely going to see, I think, you know, we've talked about this before, of, you know, those starting dates, you know, getting pushed up a little bit because of you know, what the college football playoffs
Even see it in a few weeks. The NFL is going to go first on scheduling.
Sure.
And I think the date it looks like they're going to announce is either Wednesday, May 8th or Wednesday, May 9th for their schedule. As soon as that's out, that's when the college bowl season fills in. And there's a lot of conversation of where the college bowl season usually waits to that third weekend in December to start that first round of games. They could even start that second weekend, which is usually reserved just for standalone Army Navy.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how all this plays out. And you mentioned Ireland. It was announced yesterday that 2025 will be Iowa State versus Kansas State in the double.
Is that right? I didn't.
Yeah,
a Big 12 game.
Yeah, so that will be fun, I guess, a year from now. Since we're on the topic of college football, I'm curious. Obviously, now with how college football is changing, there's so many proposals thrown out, ideas thrown out, and the most recent one that I've seen that's gaining a little bit of traction in the media has been the proposal, the idea thrown out there of a only group of five tournament for just those group of five teams. How much have you seen of this? What do you think of that idea?
I'm not for that, but I see where it could build to that. Now, it could build to that after we have more expansion of Big Ten, SEC, and really like Memphis, Tulane, Boise State, those teams eventually get to that, so they wouldn't really be being excluded.
Sure, Sure, and I think,
but it could also get to their exclusion.
Sure, absolutely, and I think that's definitely for a lot of people here is kind of the issue about it is you don't want
you got it this year and next year.
Sure, and then and so that's why you're seeing.
But by
a lot
then,
got to
be out of this league. Got to be out of
you
AAC.
You would hope, especially with how fast we think things are going to move and how fast they've been moving. You would hope that you're out of there by then, but. You never know, but hopefully Tigers don't have to worry about a tournament that's only group of five.
There will be movement this sure. summer. It might be closer yeah. to opening day with there's that date for Florida State and ACC
yeah.
that something has to be decided, and they're as good as gone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think anybody holding out hope that Florida State and I think in the same breath Clemson, are going to be – you know, ACC lifers, and that something's going to happen. They're going to stick in the ACC. That's completely out of the door. And
everybody wants North Carolina
sure,
for a lot
North
of great
Carolina.
Reasons.
Yeah, and even this morning you mentioned ACC and Florida State. Florida Attorney General files lawsuit against the ACC over request for ESPN contracts. So, I mean, Florida's pulling out all the guns to try to get Florida State out of the ACC, and I think they're as good as gone.
So we're going to have a summer of a lot of rumor and, sure. and then I think some traction. Maybe not yeah. quite like the last two summers.
Yeah, no, I think so. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And it's always fun to kind of see how those dominoes fall. And, you know, we didn't think that those dominoes this last year were going to be Pac-12 completely disintegrating.
You know, Brian, I think you and Johnny can attest, and most listeners, most of my friends can attest, it's very few days – then I'm not fired up to do this. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
I've kind of had to fake it today.
Really?
I took a hit today that almost made me just be full exasperated with the whole thing called life. When I popped up the scores from the Zurich Classic and I saw Higo and Fox on top of the leaderboard, I wanted to quit.
Well, Brett, first off, great setup there. But
I didn't scare you, did I?
You did. No, I mean, I had this weird feeling yesterday when he said, you know what, I'll take Higo and Fox. And I said, oh, that's a great pick.
And then got back on a tractor.
Started thinking, you know, yeah, literally. Took a moment off, and then while talking to us said, oh, wait, I haven't even looked at who's playing this weekend. I need picks this weekend.
Spike the ball.
I'll just go Higo and Fox, whoever they are, and then what, 9 under today? I mean, just
4 under after four.
Crazy.
I popped it up this morning and went,
you gotta be kidding me. I mean, but
now look who's on top of the leaderboard.
Who is? I haven't checked since
old
started.
Brett's second pick.
Oh, Macro. Oh, the guy that didn't want to be there this weekend, according to John.
Yeah. He's there. McElroy and And Big Shane Lowry, they're 11 under.
How about that? Well, I got to see a lot of our first round picks, Brett, this morning. They were playing in the group together, and they were kind of the focus on the main broadcast this morning on ESPN Plus was Cantley's group and Zalatoris' group.
I say it every year at this tournament, and I hope when in forever I'm proven to be horribly wrong.
Yeah.
They're going to have trouble one of these days at that tournament with an alligator. Did you see the photos? I sent it to Johnny.
Yeah.
Of the alligator just traipsing across the tee box.
Yeah, and we always just, get those
good
videos.
Morning, everybody.
Sure. And I saw when I was watching
everybody's
this morning,
so calm.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And this morning when I was watching, they had it on one of the
well,
ponds.
You sure don't want to provoke him.
No. But
because you're in his house.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they had a video of one of the ponds right next to the course had one just swimming around in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just
well,
okay.
what if it's mom very protective of little ones and thinks golfers gotten too close.
That's right.
In this tournament, more than any, there's always some last week at Hilton Head. Mm-hmm. Of course, at some of the stops in Florida.
Sure.
But this one is in Alligator Alley.
It is.
In South Louisiana.
It is. And like Johnny said, everyone way too calm about it than I would be.
I hope forever I'm wrong.
Sure. I hope you are too. But, you know, when you start playing around with wild animals, it's risky
business. And guess what? I bet they're very attractive. attracted to the food,
sure.
The garbage cans, things like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So,
which I'm sure the good folks at Zurich Classic New Orleans, they know all this.
Of course.
I hope I stay wrong.
I hope you do, too. But it is interesting every year seeing those pictures and seeing those videos. But
of course, that could be your backyard in the Garden District, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's always a fun time at the Zurich Classic. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show with Taco Bell Crunch Time.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye!
It's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, so good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla. With even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, what I learned today, John Morant, we talked about him about a month or so ago as he cut ties with his agent. So looking for a new agent, he has found one today, signing with Lyft, which is Mike Miller's agency. We know Mike Miller was an assistant coach at Memphis with Penny Hardaway, stepped away from that, coached at Houston High School for about a year before deciding to go the agent route, and has put together a pretty good group of guys that he represents, including Paolo Banchero, and now Ja Morant will be one of them. I know a lot of people were worried about Ja Morant looking for a new agent. Maybe he would go with a big brand like Clutch that would try to get him out of Memphis to one of these bigger brand, bigger markets in the NBA, but I think a lot of people can breathe with some relief after he signs with Mike Miller.
What I learned today, $5 billion Dome Stadium in downtown Chicago. Did you see the artist renderings?
I sure did.
And did you go to the interactive site with them?
I did not.
You didn't miss anything there. Translucent roof, not retractable, fixed roof, will get a Super Bowl. They will get a Final Four. They've never hosted either. Evanston, Illinois, at Northwestern, basically Chicago. It has hosted a Final Four a million years ago. But it will be spectacular. The Packers will be the only outdoor stadium left in the old fable black and blue division that weather really marked a lot of things, a lot of history in that. When Nashville goes dome and Carolina's suspected to go dome, that's going to be 14 out of 32 in the NFL. You bring in the really nice weather places, we're going to be down to very few games that will be impacted by weather.
That is a very good point. Getting a roof on there is extremely important.
You know, the wet weather in Miami is nice. We know in Tampa it's nice. Their dome, San Francisco, most of the time nice. Can get rainy and muddy sometimes, but mostly nice.
Yeah, but certainly getting that roof up there is becoming the new thing. What I could have done without my brother sitting in the room beside me, I don't know how he's feeling today, but the White Sox dropping to 3-22 on the season is what I could have done without it. It's been, Johnny Radio, I think yesterday, said to me, are we to the point where we just start fading the White Sox in every game they play? And I said, yes, John, we are there. I mean, that's just what you got to do right now. This team does not know how to win.
That's a good theory.
It is. And they have lost 22 games in their last 25 outings to start the 2024 season. It doesn't get much worse than that.
What are they tonight? Oh, they've already
lost. They've already lost.
That's what you said. I'm sorry. Ooh. Yeah. So they're 3-23.
That's right. No, 3-22.
3-22 after 25. So,
not good.
That's 12 wins after 100. Not good. 100. Sorry, Connor. I shouldn't have laughed.
No. Laughing is fine. It has not been good.
I could have done without. Whenever you hear SEC bias, SEC privilege, ESPN makes the SEC. Sober up, quit being a dopehead, and look at the best football play in the world. It's by the NFL, and they always restock it with more players from the SEC for a reason. It's the best played football out there, and I see it week in and week out.
Yes, you do. And you have come back and said, Georgia's legit. Jaden Daniels is legit. I mean, the reports you bring back are usually pretty good about a lot of these players and teams. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me to Motown every break tonight on ESPN. Should be bumper music with Motown artists.
Oh, yeah.
The city of cars in Motown, it put them on the map. The Lions have never won a Super Bowl. Last World Series win for the Tigers in 84. Pistons last won the NBA in 2004. And the Red Wings last won the Stanley Cup in 2008.
Beam me to this Knicks 76ers game starting at 6:30 on TNT. Even though the Knicks up 2-0, this is one of the more interesting series. It's getting heated. We'll see what happens tonight with the 76ers. Three games tonight in the NBA. Obviously, the draft, only one night game in Major League Baseball.
Where will J.J. McCarthy go?
Oh, that's the big question, and we shall find out in just a little bit. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.